This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks for your company today. We're back in Seyðisfjörður, back at the Technical Museum. We've learned about the mechanical history of this part of Iceland. We've learned as well about the landslides and the avalanches, which have done such damage here over the decades. But the Technical Museum also will tell you even more about the history here in front of the Technical Museum building to learn about events that took place here during World War II. My guest again is Katla. Hi, Katla. So tell me about El Grillo and tell me about the part that it plays in the history of Seyðisfjörður.
So in the Second World War, the British and the American soldiers came here to Seyðisfjörður and they occupied the fjord. They were helping us and protecting us. And they had a ship. It was called El Grillo or El Grillo, if you speak Spanish. And it was located here in the fjord. And it was like a gasoline station. Mm. It was filled with oil and the soldiers got some oil for their ships and for their cars. And it was bombed down in the Second World War or heavily damaged by Germans. And it sank down to the bottom of the ocean and it is still located there. And it's leaking oil and it's leaking oil and it's checked every year if it's damaging the nature and the nature life, the bird life here in the fjord.
But luckily it's better that it's not there, but it's not doing too much damage just now.
I wouldn't say it's doing too much damage, but I'm not a specialist on
no,
this.
No, okay. The cannon, which is visible here, one of two that was mounted on El Grillo. It's been restored. You can go up to it, and it doesn't fire, though, does it?
No, it doesn't fire, but you can, of course, touch it. Mm-hmm. Touch it and play with it, and it's really common that children come here and imagine that they're shooting something.
Yes, it doesn't move, but you can imagine that you're in charge of this Garrett cannon, and the ship lies more or less directly ahead of us, I think.
A little bit to the right, you can see it. It's like a black ring located around it, and people oftentimes think it's like a salmon or some kind of a fish, but it is actually to stop oil leaking from the ship.
Yes.
But we do have another cannon over there, as you can see. And we had a tradition here on our national day, the 17th of June, to fire it every year or yearly. And it has been done since I was a kid. And it's a lot of fun, but it's only, it's paper. It's like a paper.
Oh, I see. And that's only from this one up here, not from the one we've just been standing next to.
No. But for some reason, it hasn't happened now for 3 or 4 years, so more or less.
Yes.
But it's our tradition here in Seyðisfjörður.
I've been to the Wartime Museum on this visit as well, and I know that lots of people who were, or the families of people who were stationed here during the occupation of Iceland during the Second World War, have visited to find out more about their relatives. Does that happen here? Do you get people coming to the Technical Museum who've got a particular interest in the ship and the cannon?
Yes, of course. Of course that happens. And also the herring season and the fishing industry. We have had some people from the Faroe Islands in Sweden that come here and say that I especially came to this town because my great-grandmother or great-grandfather came here to work, and I wanted to visit because of that.
We're going to head up the road in a couple of moments to the final part of what this museum does. We've uncovered a lot about the history of this area, the Technical Museum. Before we do that, though, right next to the information boards that talk about the landslides that caused such damage here directly outside the museum, you can find information as well about the other elements, I guess, of the history of the town. For example, what it's like being young here in Seyðisfjörður.
Yes, so we have four of these orange benches. And on each one of them, there's some information about the community here, because we often get asked, like, what do you do in the winter time? Mm. And how does the community, like, thrive? Or how do you we get it during the summertime. It's like so many people come here and tourists and cruise ships, and it's lively and full of life, but also in the wintertime. So this orange crane, how do I say this? Correct.
I don't know what the... Oh, it's a cairn. Yes,
yeah.
Cairn.
So, yeah. So that it displays information about how it is being young in Seyðisfjörður Resort, and not only at these times, but also like back 50, 70, 80 years, and how they used to have gang wars, for example, here.
That's hard to imagine.
Yeah, but that happens. It was like, and the games of life and how they are the lifeblood and foundation of any community.
Yes, and that's just one of the cairns that talks about the history of the town and what life is like. Here, for example, the seasons are explained, the importance of the return of the sun. And you don't get the polar night here. We're not far enough north for that. But the sun goes behind the mountains for months at a time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's around 3 months. And on 18th of February, it returns to the fjord. And then we all have some pancakes. So this is a display about, or information, a display about the seasons here in Seyðisfjörður and what we do for fun and different traditions. And this is in February, and then we have Days of Darkness around this time, October, November. And then we also have, Harvest Festival, Seyðisfjörður Gay Pride, Lunga Festival, Listi Ljósi, Blacksmith Festivals. These are just examples of festivals that have been going on for years and years, and some have some are not here anymore, but new traditions take their place.
So much culturally happens here in Seyðisfjörður. It's a very artistic area, very artistic part of Iceland. But like I say, our conversation not quite complete, because we've got a little journey to make, and then we will find out yet more here at the Technical Museum of East Iceland. You will also here find out about the role of working women in Seyðisfjörður, particularly around the turn of the 20th century, from 1880 to 1920. Now, Katla, you were involved with this part of the exhibition, which is a little bit down the road from the main museum itself. You can wander around and see some wonderful photographs and images of you know, the answer to that question, what jobs women did in Seyðisfjörður, and working women were incredibly important, weren't they?
Yes, of course, and this is an exhibition about how important they really were, and it shows or displays so many different types of jobs that they did that maybe it's not very common to think about when you think about a woman around that years.
And let's see what kind of work they did. Now, it might not be surprising that the first board talks about fish processing workers, because it was almost entirely women that did that job, wasn't it?
Yes, of course. But while men and women, of course, shared tasks, women had significantly less. There was a big pay gap. But they were also photographers here in Seyðisfjörður, and healthcare professionals. Editors, they made really important papers here in Seyðisfjörður.
So let's look at some of the publications that were edited here, two newspapers for women, by women, in 1895. This was quite ahead of its time, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were really radical.
Yeah.
And they wanted to improve conditions and rights for women at the time. And it addressed women's rights issues, such as suffrage, education, and financial independence. And it was a platform for women to talk about their struggle and interests.
Now, it's not that long since we've had the 50th anniversary of the first women's strike here in Iceland, and it marked, as I say, 50 years since the first one, when the gender pay gap was a big issue back in 1975. There are other concerns now, of course, but here we are in 1895 with these radical newspapers by women for women. Do you think that the women who edited those newspapers would be surprised that in 2025 there is still a need for there to be things like the women's strike?
I think they would be surprised, but I also believe that they would be honored that they are here on this exhibition and that people are talking about them and they can see their importance and their work. Yes. They were entrepreneurs. They were pioneers at the time, and they wouldn't be silenced.
And you can read these information boards with a wonderful view, of course, behind you as well, in a really beautiful part of the country. But as you say, women were entrepreneurs. They operated telegraph and telephone equipment. They were healthcare professionals. They were, of course, also housewives and maids. And as we said, they worked in the fish processing industries. I don't want to give too much away, but if you are here in Seyðisfjörður, you can walk around and you can enjoy this exhibition. And you can learn about particular women as well. For example, Hallfríður Brandsdóttir, who delivered 1,440 babies as a midwife, we should say, not herself, but as a midwife in a 50-year career, the first honorary member of the Icelandic Midwives Association. Important figures locally who are doubtless remembered by the community and now remembered on these boards as well. So a lot to discover here at the Technical Museum. Over the course of our last three conversations, we've tried to bring you a taste of it. And of course, as we said right at the start, so much of what is in the building that we first visited will be fully operational by the time the summer season comes around. But if you want to take a look at what's here just now, you can all year round just by getting in touch.
Yes, of course. And we've had so many groups from, for example, the Faroe Islands and from workplaces here in Iceland that are interested. And we actually want you to contact us. We would love to inform you about our exhibition, about the history and your interests.
Fantastic. Katla, thank you very much once again.
Of course.
It's Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.